brown skin girls.
Copper tone, oh, you copyright infringement.
Her skin is caramel with the cocoa eyes.
Damn, she's fun. I think I add the R-E in front of that.
Brown sugar, babe. How do you feel?
I'm serious. I'm serious. I lose up to my rap. I'm serious.
Welcome back to the Brown Girl Hour. It's your girl T and KC on this sunny, beautiful April day. April Fool's Day.
It is my favorite month of the year, y'all know.
That's right, because it's KC's birthday.
Countdown, y'all. Countdown.
KC, it's your birthday. Don't shout it.
It's your birthday. Five more days.
Yes, yes, yes. Another year to
claim. Yes. Thank you, God.
So we are ready to entertain again.
Yes, yes, yes. And today we have a couple of things we're going to talk about. Should we start with our brown girls first?
Yes.
Okay.
Let's start with our brown girls.
So the thought that crossed my mind, I guess because I know I am slowly wrapping up my days as an educator, are educators before me who just really laid a major foundation. And so I wanted to highlight today Miss Marguerite Lamott, who we lost.
Oh, rest in peace, Miss Lamott.
Yes, Miss Lamott passed away earlier this year at the tender age of 80. Still at work.
Right.
Still at work. She was at an educator conference down in San Diego and was missed at a meeting and found that she had passed of natural causes in her room. And I'm bringing up Miss Lamott because of the many generations of students and teachers that she taught. She was the longest running member of the LAUSD board, fought effortlessly and tirelessly for children. She was called an educator's educator and really, really did this for the kids. You know, there's so many people that start in the classroom or start on a school campus and get those positions in the, you know, administrative offices or in the superintendent's office and lose sight of the business because now they start to see the money and the politics behind the game. And I don't believe Miss Lamott had a shred of that in the person that she was. There was an outpouring of love and respect and just honor put out for this woman upon her passing. And again, I just applaud her for doing it until the day of her death. I mean, how I wish for Miss Lamott that the system of education that we deal with here in California had been clean enough and straight enough for her to have some time in her life to actually retire and sit back and look at her work and say, look at what I've done.
Right.
But the fight continued, you know. Right. And so did she. And so Miss Marguerite Lamott, she was a special woman. Again, an educator's educator and somebody who was truly dedicated to the cause of making sure that the system of education was really in place to help our children.
Okay. Good one. Good one. Good one. So mine, because I'm always last minute. So it's like, who would be my brown girl? So I said, in honor of April Fool's Day, I'm going to do Miss Maya Rudolph.
Hey, I love her. I love her. For so many reasons.
Right. For so many reasons. Right. And because it sheds the light in just another genre or another area of entertainment where we as Black women can show our faces and be successful and proud in what we do.
Yes.
And do it with dignity. You know, there are lots of female comics out there. And I had to think, like, who would I want to highlight? Because my other idea would have been Whoopi Goldberg.
Yes.
Also, those who can do it, you know, with dignity and don't have to like hate. There are some comedians who hate on themselves or on Black women who make fun of who they are and what they look like to get a laugh.
Right.
Right. And I get it, you know, on some lines, but in some lines it just reeks of low self-esteem. And Miss Maya Rudolph just makes me proud. You know, she was part of the cast of Saturday Night Live. Then we see her in the movies. Don't hurt that her mama is Miss Minnie Riperton, right? Does not hurt one bit that your mom is Miss Minnie Riperton.
Yeah, kind of love you just because of that.
Just because of that, you know, but that you embrace being like and I know that there's a girl who calls herself this, but someone who just embraces the awkward black girl.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
The whole awkward black girl moment, like, yes, who doesn't get caught up in being sexy and beautiful and intelligent and strong and independent. Just awkward black girl, I'm funny. I right. can make you laugh. I'm going to be goofy, embrace it, and make you accept me for who I am.
Right. And she's her own person because both her parents were in the industry.
Right, right.
And she just kind of figured out, this is where I fit.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah. And I've never seen in an interview, and I don't want anyone to get offended, she never sells herself as the biracial daughter of Minnie Riperton and the white father.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just Maya Rudolph, you know, and mm-hmm. and she knew from a very early age that she was going to be an entertainer, that she could make people laugh.
Mm-hmm.
And you just respect that because, you know, we associate comedy with men as a male-dominated entertainment industry or field. And so for her to just step in that arena, and there are lots of you that I could name, lots of you I know that I could name. So don't y'all start hitting us up with all the other ones, unless you're just doing it out of respect for them. But don't do it in retaliation against Maya, because I know she's one of the newer ones, you know,
mm-hmm.
and some may say she hasn't put in her work. But to be on Saturday Night Live, you know, that's big.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to big up Miss Maya Rudolph.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Thanks for making us laugh.
Yes. Oh, shout out to those brown girls today.
On two totally opposite ends
of the spectrum.
Miss Lamont would have beat Maya's ass. Sit your ass down in class and get this lesson, girl.
Right.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Ain't no class clowning.
Right. Ain't no class clowning. And then nobody care about your mama being Minnie Riperton. Sit your
right.
ass down.
Exactly. And Minnie ain't in here today.
Get this arithmetic.
For real.
Get this arithmetic. But yeah, you know, there's, you know, when you're reminded that you can laugh at life and take things lightly, that's a good thing, you know, because we always come on so serious. But
this is true.
Yeah, shout out to our brown girls, Miss Lamont and Miss Rudolph.
Yes. So we are going to move into a little bit of listener feedback. We were hit with a very serious message after last week's podcast. And mind you all, or the last Brown Girl podcast, where we discussed an article written by a brother named Ibrahim Asim, if I'm not mistaken, it's called Why Am I Still Dating Black Women?
Right. And he put another one out. I can't remember the name of the other article.
He posts stuff a lot.
Yeah, because I sent you the other one. I was like, oh, this is our dude again.
Yeah. He definitely, and after reading a few articles of his, a few of his posts, you realize he's somebody who is just kind of loves black women and right. is in support of us. So whatever he's going to say is going to be to the upliftment of us.
Right.
And off mic, Tori and I did discuss how that last post was probably something fictional that was built upon, but we thought that the points that he brought up were very, very right. poignant and some true stereotypes that a lot of people operate off of in regard to how they approach black women right. or reasons why they choose not to approach black women.
Right.
So they were something to unpack. But anyway, I want to read a portion of this message that this brother named Byron, who I tried to email back, but the email address we had just, it wasn't working for some reason.
You did that on purpose, Byron. Stop playing with us, Byron.
It says, I'm sorry, ladies, but you've been duped. Anyone with the third eye could read that Why Am I Still Dating Black Women blog post until it was completely made up. The scenario conversation itself was so unrealistic. You know, nothing like that actually happened in real life. The author wrote that and likely embellished a far less extensive real life situation with the goal of propping up black women. While that's a laudable goal on the surface, it comes across as extremely patronizing and disingenuous. It's sad that black women are so starved for attention and approval that they can't see past the obvious ruse. You two should seriously think about what you're saying are great reasons to date black women. You're basically making it seem like a joyless arrangement in which someone would only want you because of some shared level of oppression. Nobody wants to be around someone who needs to be reminded to merely smile in public. Nobody wants to feel like they're being dated out of obligation. Nobody wants a gangster chick. Where's the fun in that? Who wants that? The fictitious white chick in the fictitious story is 100% correct. I don't want a ride or die chick. I want someone I enjoy being around. I man's love is life. I'm just let that one slide. The way that you two describe black women yourselves makes this seem like a lot of work. Before you jump to conclusions, I have been married to a black woman for 13 years and I am happy. The difference is my wife treats me as an individual and not some mythical representation of all black men. That would be a lot of pressure for any man, black, white, or other, to deal with. Again, who would want that? Think seriously about how the two of you describe yourselves and black women in general. Ooh. If I were a Martian listening to this specific podcast, I think you two were loathsome, angry, broken, toting a bunch of Samsonite, and probably want nothing to do with you. Shit, I'd probably want all the white women you describe instead. Not because Ooh. They're white, but because you describe them as being much more like what a man wants. Just some food for thought. You can dismiss it as some self-loathing black woman hating Negro if you want, and you'd be terribly off base. I hope you two instead think a bit more about the message you are putting out there and consider making changes as you see appropriate. Well, look, before we go in, can I read you the comment that I wrote back to him?
Yes.
And I'm Byron, I'm just going to let you find the comment that Mr. Layman left for you. I'll let you read that one on your own. But this is what I wrote back. This is what I actually emailed the brother that didn't actually make his inbox. I said, "Hello, Byron. Thank you for listening to the Brown Girl Hour. We would not at all dismiss you as self-loathing and would ask that in the same vein, you not judge either of us based on one episode of our show. The fictionalized depiction of the barbershop scene in the article we referenced did not go over either of our heads. We opted to discuss the article more for the stereotypic points it made towards black women. I disagree in your generalization regarding what men want. These are things that specifically Byron does not want. Right. But more importantly, we are supporting the idea that black people build relationships solely based on a common experience, but agree that it is this shared experience that impacts our communication with one another, either strengthening it or making it difficult. For both Toria and my experience, it has aided in strengthening the relationships we've built with black men. Neither of us are currently loathsome, angry, or broken bag ladies. Though neither of us will deny having experienced pain in relationships at some point in our lives. However, I've been in a relationship with the same black man for the last 14 years, and it is his love and support that continues to uplift me every day. Our blackness is a commonality that we appreciate, as we both desired a long-term relationship with another black person. But it is who we are as individuals that has aided in our union lasting happily for all these years. Thanks for sharing your thoughts. And we invite you to continue listening to all the podcasts offered by the team at Black Ears. Warmly, Casey."
Thank you, Casey. And notice there were no insults thrown out there. What was the first line you even opened up with? Clearly anybody with a third eye.
We've been duped. The funny thing about this, and I end up actually having a good conversation with both Chris and Big Brother Moody, and you and I did not get a chance to discuss it. But the brother lays out, just in the way that he chooses to communicate to us, some of the points that we brought up as being frustrating about dealing with black
men. Just the way he addressed us.
Yeah. And I don't think the brother even realizes it.
That's natural. Because I very, very much recall that conversation of us saying how no matter what, we still loved our black men.
We say that repeatedly.
I even was going to open up with Byron, "I love you." But, you know, I kind of get a kick out of you thinking I'm what you think I am. Right? You ain't seen me, brother. You don't know. Telling you now, I have you sipping honey out of my hands. You better watch it. That's why we can laugh at it, right? Because, brother, I love you too. I love you too, right?
And honestly, brother, you listened to this podcast and pulled a couple of lines from us, like a couple of things that we said
and took it, yes.
And kind of took it and ran with it.
And said, "Shit, I would rather be with a white woman."
Right. Which, quite frankly, completely undercuts the fact that you bring up that you've been with a black woman. You brought that up twice. Right.
And you didn't want, you know, yeah.
I don't know if I believe
you.
I
love you too. Here's the thing. You're just, you know, you clearly, as I said, the black woman is misunderstood.
Yes.
And you are one of the ones who misunderstood. Two of them. You understand your wife. God bless your union. We don't hate on black love at all. And we still love you.
Right.
I don't have a lot to say to you.
Yeah. One thing that he mentioned about the brother Ibrahim Asim and the fact that he likes to prop up right. black women, and that comes off patronizing and disingenuous. Yeah. It depends on the woman who you're talking to.
Right. And the validation. We sound like women.
We're so lonely. Wait a minute. What's the actual line? It's sad that black women are so starved for attention and approval that they can't see past this obvious rules. Like, you're dropping such generalizations.
That's such a generalized statement. Like, that's kind of amazing that exactly what we were talking about is what he's portraying and doesn't even see it.
Yeah, that's the part that's quite laughable.
That's what we were lying out. And I'm not going to keep, you know, going he, because that just gives you fuel to keep running and think we're angry black women, although right. I'm 100% confident in knowing who I am, so that means nothing to me.
Right.
Because I could sit at the table and break bread with you all day.
And not think
And anything. Your wife also. Yeah. You know?
And think nothing of it.
Think nothing less, but smile, you know? God loves babies and fools.
Right.
And so does Toria.
Right. I would just say... I would just say to you, brother, you know, we have heard you. We have definitely reflected on who we are and how we represent ourselves. I think that was something that we discussed way before we even decided to put our voices to the mic to create this show. I would also encourage you
to keep listening.
To keep listening, and in your responses, be reflective.
Bring your boo along, too.
Yes.
Let her listen.
Let her listen. We would love to hear Mrs. Gray.
And next time, send a real email, fool, so right. we can get back at you.
Right.
Because I'm a ride or die.
Right.
I like fucking with folks that get all riled up like that. I don't want no ride or die chicks. From the ghetto to the White House, I fit in. And your ass would love it. You just ain't been around it long enough. You would love it, Byron, Mr. Byron. You would love it.
Right.
Yes.
I don't know a man that wouldn't want a woman that was loyal. And when I think of ride or die, that's how I would define that terminology.
Right. Negro, you ain't got to always think DMX and put bulls and shit like that.
We not rocking gold fronts.
Yes. We're saying we are women who will stand by our black men, not just the black men we're dating or in relationships with, all of you. Even you, Byron, because if something went down and I was standing there next to you, I still stand up for your ass right now to this day, because I love you. And it's not out of an obligation or it doesn't take work for me to love the black man. How you said, you know, it would just be to take a lot of work because you're loving someone out of obligation. It's not out of obligation.
Not at all.
It's just the mere fact that I look at you and I see the black men that have raised me and that have poured into my life. And so I pour that love back. And that's all I'm asking you to receive. But like I said, all you gotta do is come to Cali. You'll be singing a totally different tune if you come and sit between KC and T.
Right.
That's how you get them kids, KC. You kill them with love. You kill them with love. And it's so easy to do. It is easy to do. I have you out here crip walking. You better stop playing. And then throw you back in your corporate suit, my brother. Stop playing. And I ain't even a crip, but I'll make you crip walk. We need to get to a place where we can show each other love and respect, not out of obligation, but just looking back historically of who we were. There was a time where women and men, black women and black men, respected and loved each other and showed each other that. Doesn't mean we agree on everything. Doesn't mean we've shared the same walks of life. No. Doesn't mean we will take the same walk. You know, our values and all of that could be different. But at the end of the day, at the core of it, you are my brother, you know?
Right.
And so I have your back as you should have mine. And I speak highly of you. And I expect you to speak highly of me. I don't need you to validate me. My daddy did that. My uncles did that. My godfather did that. You know, my mama made sure that people that were around me did that. I'm not angry. We talked about that. We were like, it's passion, anger. We sound like self-loathing, angry black woman. Like I said, come to the West Coast. I have you crip walking with a glass of cognac. And then we go somewhere nice. So you'll know that I do have culture too.
Right.
And your wife can come too, because I'm not trying to sleep with you. You know? I'm just exposing you to some real black woman love. And you getting it at home too. I consider you getting it at home too.
Right.
Byron, you just wanted some attention, but you didn't even give us the real email address. Stop playing. Stop playing.
Real deal.
Right.
And look, on another note, I would love for us, as far as feedback is concerned, to give a shout out to two people who have highlighted our show twice.
Hey.
And that is Big B and Queen Neen, coming out of the In Deep Show camp. They have a show called Recap the Recap, where they listen to podcasts and give their opinions about those podcasts. And Neen has brought us up twice and is highly supportive of our show. Both times we've been on Recap the Recap, it's been highly complimentary.
I've got to do mine. I didn't forget Neen.
Yeah.
We emailed each other. I need to follow back up with her.
Yeah. She is a really sweet woman. And Neen, we really appreciate your support and showcasing our work on your show. Big B, on the other hand. Ooh, T. T, T, T. I wish.
You keep saying my name. That means you're my boyfriend.
Big B, you heard it here first.
But I have a man, so you got to watch it. But you keep saying my name. I keep hearing this stuff about you. That means we go together. You my podcast husband.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, Big B, it's official. You are Toria's podcast husband. Podcast hubby Big B.
There you go.
Yeah, he's apparently been out here saying that he gets people podcast pregnant, so you know.
What? Say what? Get a podcast pregnant.
You don't want Toria to put that thing on you, podcast wise.
Podcast pregnant. Let's go half on the podcast. But then when the mics go off, we off, okay? But when they're on, from beginning to end,
we boot up.
That's right.
But no, they're sweet. So big love to you guys, Big B and Queen Neen. We appreciate you guys shouting us out. We love the shows you guys put out. Recap the Recap is absolutely, I think, my favorite coming out of
Maryland.
The In Deep show. Yeah, they are in the DMV, if I'm not mistaken. And I love that show because I get to hear about other podcasts that I've never listened to.
I gotta go.
Yeah. And then they have the, of course, Can I Talk My Shit segment?
Yes.
Which I think is probably one of the most brilliant segments in all of podcasting. Like, wow. I love Can I Talk My Shit. I hope one day, I'm putting this out there to you guys, that you do like a compilation. Can I Talk My Shit? Just one after the other, after the other, after the other. They're great.
Wait, don't do too many black women because then, you know, people be thinking we angry. Self-loathing. Miserable, looking to be validated.
Samsonite toting. Damn.
Oh, don't you know the first lady is black? Ain't no validation needed no more. We in there.
Did you see that link I sent you called 13 Ways to Know That You're Dating a Grown-Ass Man?
I did.
And what did you think?
And I thought a couple of those items were good, but it made men seem a lot more complicated than what they really are, at least to me. You know, some of the, let me pull that up. Just some of them were just like extremely deep, and I've found over years, not that men aren't deep, but real men are simple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that might be one of the ways to know you're dating a man, a real man. If his ass is too complicated, then he's not a real man, you know.
He's still working some stuff out.
Yeah, most men that have a good sense of themselves, pretty simple.
Mm-hmm.
You know who they are. It doesn't take a lot to get to know them. And
It's not a lot of games being played.
Yeah, it's not a lot of games. It's not too deep. He's very clear on who he is. And, you know, he says from the very beginning, you hear him from the very beginning, him express who he is, what he wants, where he sees himself. And if he sticks to what he said from the beginning, then that's pretty much a real man.
Yeah.
But some of these statements on there, I don't know, made it like a lot deeper than I think.
Yeah. And I didn't necessarily agree with every single one. There were some good ones. There were definitely some good ones. Like the one that stood out to me that was definitely a truth. He doesn't disappear for days or a week at a time.
Right. Yeah.
that's that game playing.
Yeah, that's, you know, that Roscoe saying? Jenkins type stuff. Like, leave that fool alone.
Right.
Then there was one. Number 11, he encourages you to grow and try new activities. He isn't afraid he will be left in the dust. And he genuinely wants the best for you.
Yeah.
I would say that. You know, he's supportive.
Right.
Make it so. Maybe they just said he's supportive.
Right.
Right. But, yeah, a real man is supportive.
Yeah.
Of but, who you are and what you do.
But we decided after talking about this article to put together our list of a few items that we feel support the fact that you're dealing with a real man.
And ironically, our list, we have some similarities and we have some differences, which is good because then we can prove out there that, you know, there's a, each woman has her own definition
Right.
You know, there are some similarities, obviously, and there's some things that we agree on. Because when you said some stuff, I was like, oh, yeah, 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 that's true. I didn't even think about that.
Me too.
Right.
And mind you, our lists were limited. We came up with 5 apiece. 5. Mm-hmm. Not 13.
Not 13. So, do you want to start?
I can. So the first one I put was, he expects to provide. And I say that with the caveat that he may not be providing at the moment. And that's fine. But his expectation is that he is supposed to provide. So what he's working towards is being able to provide. That's how I was raised. Just straight up, straightforward. A man, a real man expects to provide for his family. And so a man who comes into a relationship expecting you to be the breadwinner.
Not so much.
Mm-hmm. I don't care what generation we're living in. For me, that's one that is a constant. And again, like I said, he doesn't have to be providing now. We can be sharing the load. Mm-hmm. I might even be the breadwinner. Right. But in his mind, this is what it is he's supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I should also add that if he does have that expectation and finds himself in the moment where he's not currently providing, he does not feel emasculated if I am the one providing in the moment, because he knows, well, this is where we are for the moment.
Right. He might not be comfortable with it, but he knows he's in that moment.
Right.
Right. Well, my number one was pretty similar to that. Very similar. He wants to take care of his woman and his family.
Mm-hmm,
And in all aspects, you know, it's not just from a financial standpoint, but if the woman comes home with a bad day, he wants to, you know, solve that issue for her, or try to solve it, or try to make the day get better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he wants to take the burden off. He wants her to be at peace. He wants his children to be at peace. He wants them in the best school and the best home he can provide for them and have the best childhood. And again, it's not about the money, but creating those best for them.
Exactly.
So, and that's what he wants. He may not be able to do all of that at one time. And sometimes he can do it more time, you know, more than in other times. But that's what he wants.
Right.
So I guess that's the number one way to know you have a good man. He wants to take care of the family, provide for the family and the woman.
Yes. What was your number two?
My number two was he is able to communicate. So
That's critical.
He's able to communicate. And this is not to be misunderstood as when women are ready to communicate, he communicates with you right there and then. Or he always initiates the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But he knows how to communicate.
Right.
You know, and like I said, it's not to be mistaken as when something's burning a woman to talk about it right there and then, he immediately jumps into the conversation because he may not have the words right there and then.
Right.
Because I do believe women are better communicators, are better at expressing themselves on the whim, you know, because it just comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a plus and a negative sometimes. Mm-hmm. My experience with men is that sometimes they can right there on the whim, but a lot of times when you're ready to have the conversation, they may not be ready to go have that conversation.
Yeah.
But they are able to have that conversation. It may take a little time to get the words together or figure out what I want to say, or I'm just not ready to talk about it right now. But he is able to communicate. He doesn't leave you in silence.
I completely agree with that. I've learned in my relationship, sometimes it takes a man a minute. He wants to reflect on what you've said and not respond just automatically. He wants to really think about it, process it, and then come back to you with something that he's thought about and considered, and y'all have a real conversation. And especially if it's a moment where, you know, passions are running high, to avoid a situation turning into an argument, it's like, let's just take our peace, let me think about what you said, and then let's come back together and discuss it. So yeah, that is critical.
What was your number two?
My number two was he sets goals for himself and desires his partner to do the same. So complacency is something that I don't think works for quote, and I don't like to use the term real man. I just feel like it's boo-boo.
Sounds but, like an angry black woman.
Right, exactly. But, you know, a man who is an adult, a responsible, mature adult, he knows that part of being successful is forward progress. So he chooses not to be complacent. And by that, it might be different things. If I'm looking at, I'm going to use just my relationship. You know, for me, what I appreciate about Chris is he's very good at what he does professionally. but he has found a new passion in the world of podcasting. Mm. And I see him spend so much time researching about editing and equipment and things that he can do to make what we put together better. And it has put a fire under him, you know. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. I love seeing him in it, you know what I mean? And so that for me is what I'm thinking of when I think about, you know, setting goals. Professionally, he doesn't necessarily have to do anything more. He's done what he's needed to do as far as education is concerned. He has a position with a company that he's very happy with, and it's quite perky, But as far as personal is concerned, he sees something else for himself that he wants to attain, and he's going for it. So
I think that's big. Mm-hmm. I do. Mm-hmm. You know, number three, admits when he is wrong.
Yes.
You know, and that can be very hard to do in the face of a woman, mm-hmm. you know, especially when we know you're wrong or mm-hmm. we think you're wrong. But he's able to admit when he's wrong and when he's messed up and made a mistake, and we'll say it just that way. You know, mm-hmm. I made a mistake. I kind of steer away from the person that's quick to apologize, because sometimes a quick apology is just to kind of like brush the conversation off the table or mm-hmm. sweep whatever happened under the rug. Mm-hmm. But someone who can admit that they're wrong, I made a mistake, I didn't make the best decision, I'm sorry, mm-hmm. you know. So it takes a grown-up, you know, an adult to be able to do that, mm-hmm. admit when they're wrong, mm-hmm. not a know-it-all and or find fault or be able to justify their behavior because of something you did.
Right.
Because two people, you know, we both could be wrong, but if someone's saying like, well, they justify your behavior or their own behavior because of what you did that was wrong, that's not admitting that you were wrong. It's like they can take ownership for their own behavior and say, yeah, I could have done better. Yeah. You know, I didn't make the best decision, or I made a mistake. Not, well, you did this, you know, or if you did this more, not that kind of crap. Yeah. But that's just able to be like, yeah, I messed up. You know, I made a mistake. I know I was wrong.
Because there are those people who have a need to be right all the time. And it's like none of us are right all the time.
Right. And you make mistakes. Mm-hmm. And that's hard to do sometimes because it could cost you something sometimes. Yes. You know, girl. When you fess up to being wrong or making a mistake, it could cost you something. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes people don't want to admit or fess up, you know, or in denial. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, can confess, admit that they're wrong.
Mm-hmm. I put he is family oriented. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't necessarily mean that he has children or even desires children, because I respect people to make the choices that fit their lives. So if you know that you're someone who does not wish to parent, then the responsible thing is for you to not parent. But you have a relationship with your family somehow, some way.
Right.
I know everybody's familial relationships are not perfect, mm-hmm. but I understand that we only get one.
Right.
And
don't get to pick them.
No, you don't at all. And family relationships are the most difficult, because those people tend to be able to touch our Achilles heel real quick.
Yes,
and sometimes they just poke and prod at it, and they don't have a filter a lot of the time, and just, you know,
feel entitled to say what they want to say.
Exactly.
And do what they want to do.
Family will get on your nerves. Yes. But again, you only have one, and there's just so much, there is an importance of just having that connection for all sorts of reasons. Mm-hmm. You know, medical history, but connection, you know what I'm saying? Connection. These are your people. This is your history. So even if you're not with them all the time, you guys don't live in the same state, whatever the case may be, there is still some sort of relationship connection to mm-hmm. family. I think that's really important.
That is. Mm-hmm. That is. And it shows you how he treats people.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Well, his interaction with his family, his loved ones, how he treats people or how he's capable of treating people.
Yeah, girl, I told you, my granny always said the way a man treats his mother is the way he treats you. So that right. relationship is most important, unless mm-hmm. his mother has passed on.
Right.
If she's still alive, the nature of that relationship, and granted, there are varying circumstances.
Right. Right, right, right.
But if, you know, all I's are dotted and T's across and there's no drama,
right.
how he treats her. Is how
absolutely.
He'll treat you.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So my next one, and Casey, I think this was your second one, has dreams, aspirations, and goals.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Outside of being in love with the woman, like, you know, it's attractive to meet a man who's got something brewing in his head that he wants to do or aspire to,
mm-hmm.
That he's passionate about. And just how you mentioned about Chris saying, you know, he has his professional career, but he also has something on the side that he's passionate about.
Right.
And it, that's big, you know, because yes, we all want someone that's in love with us, but you don't want the person that all he can talk about and think about is you and has nothing else going
right.
for himself. Because right. you're like, you know, what else is there?
Right.
You know, like, what else, you know, puts a smile on your face besides me walking into the house?
Right.
What else puts, you know, a smile on your face?
You can't stimulate my mind talking to me about me.
Right. You okay? You know, I can only be so many beautifuls and so right. many fines.
Much less anything else getting right. stimulated.
Exactly. But what, you know, what are you passionate about? What do you like to do? You right. know, what have you learned to do? What, you know, what are your goals? What do you want to do in 5 years? And don't be like, I still want to be with you. Like, no. No. My Kevin Hart voice. No.
Right.
No. But no, really, like a man that has dreams and aspirations and goals, he wants to do something. He sees himself doing something other than, you know, what he's currently doing.
Yes.
That's a man, you know, he's thinking about his life, you know.
Yes. Yes, his future. And in that same vein, I said that he is responsible with money.
Yes.
Nothing wrong with the man that likes to shop. I don't have a problem with that. I won't automatically deem you metrosexual if you got right. a thing for going out there and getting flashy. But it needs to make sense. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? I'm very much a proponent of, you know, you need to be the level of responsible with your money to the point where you're at least if you're not knowledgeable, because mind you, financial literacy is something that most of us have to learn. You have right. to acquire and you have to seek it out. But I am concerned if you are spending, you know, $650 on a little itty bitty apartment, but you're spending thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars on new clothes all the time, or you keep upgrading your car or
problem.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, that to me is a sign of total irresponsibility. You're not thinking about your future. You're just kind of living for now.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, people will throw out that YOLO out there in a minute. And I'm like, yeah, true. But since it is your one time,
you better get it right.
Let's get it right. You know what I mean? Just because things happen, you know what I'm saying? Life is just that crazy. You right. could be standing, walking, happy, you know, one day and fuck around and get hit by a car the next.
And then what?
You know, and you know, job situation, you don't have a savings, you don't have this, you don't have right. that. How are you to care for yourself, so, much less
someone else?
Exactly.
Right.
So having a understanding the value of a dollar, being responsible with your money.
I should have put that on there, because I actually would learn from a man like that. I'm not even gonna front.
Look, I have. I won't front either.
I actually, Chris, we both have Chris's. We're not doing one Chris.
No.
I be getting out there, getting all twisted.
Hey, out there, man, Sharon.
That's what they do. They angry, self-loathing black women. They be sharing, man.
No, we got two Chris's.
He validates them both. He's feeding them the same Kool-Aid. That's why they talk the way they do. That's what that brown girl hour is about. he's better when it comes to finances, you know, mm-hmm. as far as managing and things like that. And that's an attractive trait, you know. Mm-hmm. Some things that you don't have in yourself, you see in other people and you find it attractive.
Yes.
So that was a good one. I was like, oh, yeah, I should have put that on there.
Yeah.
Being financially responsible.
Yeah. See, I learned it from my grandfather, but actual implementation.
Right.
Chris is better at that than I am.
Right.
Yeah. I know how to, I'm good at getting it.
Right. I get it.
And then I can give it to him to do the right thing with it.
I can go out there and watch how you say it.
Right.
You see him? Like, I can go out there and get it. I just got to give it to him so he can tell me how to use it.
Next thing you know, kind of pimp shit they got right. going on over there.
She needed to be validated, so she's now prostituting.
Out there in sunny California, out there getting it, and Chris over there counting the dividends.
Yes, beat your feet on the concrete. Just play it, y'all. Happy April Fool's Day.
Right, happy April Fool's.
Yes, it's no fun if you can't fool around.
Exactly.
Okay, so then my number five was shows appreciation for his woman. And I was trying to make it all one and doesn't require a lot. So from what I can tell in relationships, my own and what I've seen in others, that the man is a lot more happier when his woman is happy, mm-hmm. and he doesn't have all these things that he requires in return.
Mm-hmm.
If he's with a good woman, he's going to get that and then some, mm-hmm. if he's meeting her needs. But he appreciates her,
mm-hmm.
you know, and who she is and what she does,
mm-hmm.
and doesn't require a lot back. You know, mm-hmm. it doesn't require a lot back in return.
Yeah.
But that does not mean ladies take him for granted, you know, because he is appreciating you. Mm-hmm. If you've got a man that appreciates you, and I'm not talking about that, the surface stuff, not like, oh, I got the finest woman out there. That's cool.
Right.
But I mean, he appreciates you. He appreciates what you do. He can compliment what you do and seeing you grow and seeing you overcome and seeing you achieve. You know, and yeah, of course, because men are visual creatures. He appreciates the outer as well, but mm-hmm. he really appreciates you and what you do for him and mm-hmm. what you bring into his life. And he tells you that.
Mm-hmm.
And then he doesn't even require a lot back in return.
Right.
For what he's getting out of you.
Right. And I would definitely consider a man who needs a lot of attention as a red flag.
Mm.
I've been in that circumstance before, and
yeah.
and for what it ended up being was just really a signal that there were some other issues, some very deep-seated issues that had not been dealt with. You
right.
know what I'm saying? And not to say that you know, men don't appreciate attention. They do. Mine's does. You know,
yeah.
he's a Leo girl. He wants that attention.
Hey, that's me too.
the Leos like to be appreciated.
He likes to be stroked.
Yes.
That's the lion in us.
Yes, yes. But like there's a difference between that kind of attention and one that is completely depleting of your energy.
Right.
And not reciprocal in any nature,
right.
just taking energy.
Right.
Just I'm just gonna sap
everything from you, and mm-hmm. I require this and I need that.
Yeah.
If he has a list, run. If he starts listing off what he needs his woman to be, the minimum, I gotta have a woman. All my women are.
Right.
When he starts talking about, oh, I don't mess with nothing but, and then it's that colon and a bullet list, run.
Yeah.
Run from his ass and his list.
Okay. So my last one is, he is respected by his peers.
That's a good one. I forgot to put that one down too.
And has a solid reputation. I think that's very important.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very important. You can tell a lot about a person by their friends.
Mm-hmm. And how their friends treat them.
Yeah.
Yes.
And what their friends say about them.
Yes.
You know what
yes.
I mean? And whether or not their friends are tentative around you.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
if you're hanging out with him and the homies, or, you know, whatever the social circle is, and folks are just mad, tight-lipped.
Something ain't right.
Like,
something ain't right.
What is going on with your homies right here?
Right.
You
That's
know?
They don't remember your name.
Right.
They don't know if you're Nikia.
They're like, is that the same?
Or Nikita.
From the last time.
Did he bring her to the barbecue last week?
Right. Now, is that a cousin?
Right. Yes.
So, yeah. And, you know, his peers do respect him. You
right.
know what I mean? They're not constantly talking shit or talking down to him, or
right.
he's the butt of everybody's joke, to the point where you're kind of like, why are you kicking it with this group of people?
Right.
But you know, he's in his circle, he's in his group, and he has earned their respect.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a big one too. I should have put that on there, because I remember saying that, you know, to people when I was dating them, like, oh, you know, if they were treated well by their friends, or if their friends showed them respect.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, I find it attractive how your friends respond to you, because sometimes the person doesn't even realize that. He doesn't realize that they respect him like that. Because, you know, men joke and clown around. So they're so used to each other, like, ha-ha, and clowning, that they don't realize that there is a level of respect that their friends show them
yeah.
that they're not paying attention to.
Mm-hmm. But they might even have some influence
on their friends.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, in a good way.
Well, Casey, I think our list was better.
Yeah, I love our
than
list.
That list. Y'all can chime on in with what you think.
Yeah, let us know. We left off bedroom politics, but
bedroom politics.
Yeah,
what are the bedroom? What
grown? Well, it dealing with the grown ass man. As far as bedroom situation is concerned, I'm just gonna drop one.
Okay, yeah, enlighten me.
He doesn't need instruction.
I'll be damned.
I mean, granted, any new relationship, a
right.
man has to learn
your body.
Yes. That's without saying. But the basics, the setup, Step A.
Step A. No, no, no. No, no, no. Not there.
Yeah, yeah. He's, and like, well, there are some circumstances where we can discover some things together, but let's just say the general practices.
You should come with some knowledge.
Right. I don't want you to bust out on me. This is the first time. What?
Whoa. Whoa. Say what?
And this, look, this is at my current age.
Right. That's what I was just trying to say.
15 years ago, different right, when topic.
I was, yeah. You know, being that I'm only 25 right now.
Right.
I expect you to have a little bit of experience at 25. A lot more than when I was 21.
Exactly.
Oh. No, that would be some funny stuff. Yeah. Like, what? Brother, what? Yeah.
So you need me to draw this diagram.
Okay. Right. How about this? I can show you better than I can tell you.
Right.
And this might be the last time I'm showing you anything.
Right. Like, oh, jeez.
That is funny. Yeah, the bedroom politics. We did leave that off.
We did.
We did. I bet if men, I won't bet because I don't know. I wonder if men did their list, would they have left off the bedroom politics or would that have ranked up there right away?
Well, I think if we had had a list of 10.
Yeah.
It would have dropped on there.
It would have dropped.
I just think what it speaks to is that it's not at the forefront, though it is critical.
It is important.
It is critical.
Let the church say yes.
Right.
Yes. Yes. Yes, yes. Don't you come up here swinging the wrong way.
Right. Right. Hurting people. Hurting yourself.
Hurting yourself. Hurting me. Like, you cannot come back.
Right. At all.
Samantha has shut down towards you.
Privileged. Revoked. Yes.
No more Samantha for you.
Oh, it's so funny. I was listening to Black Astronauts Ladies Launch, and they were having a conversation about, there was a whole, it's a deeper conversation to get into, so I won't dive into that, but they did have like kind of an offshoot of a conversation about what they call themselves. And one of the sisters, Kai, she's coined the flower, the dewy flower.
The dewy flower.
one of the young ladies, Can, she says she actually likes the word vulva. She finds that to be a pretty word. Mm-hmm. Another sister. Well, I think they all agreed, if I'm not mistaken, nothing was necessarily wrong with the term pussy. But one of the sisters said she'd actually heard it be called the meat curtain. I ain't never heard that before.
Meat curtain. Wow.
I think the conversation was talking about that there's so many different terms out there.
There are.
For a woman's sexual parts.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And some, you know, some really not that nice.
Yeah, some too raunchy.
Right.
You just say.
The least.
Right. I just roll with Samantha.
I know.
Samantha. There's no disrespect to the women out there named Samantha.
Right. That's just what you call you.
Yes.
I know. I think mine is the honey pot.
I remember you saying like the honey pot.
I'll let y'all figure that out.
You can't figure it out. You ain't a grown man. Just playing. Just playing. Byron, don't get your drawers all tight. You know I'm not going to let you go, right?
Right.
I'm showing you love. It's that family love.
This show is for you.
It's just picking at you. It's picking at you just to show you that we are not what you think we are.
Yes.
Not that we really care if you thought so anyway. But...
Gonna show up on my doorstep.
Don't get shot. No, just kidding, Byron. We love you. We need a challenge every once in a while.
Yeah, it's good for us. Good for us.
Yeah. You know, didn't pick our brains a lot.
Yeah.
But in honor of April Fool's Day, we gonna recognize. We are going to recognize. I'm just playing though, because he's not like the type of brother that's gonna send back
another message. We gonna get a 3-page essay response.
Yes, one. About what type of woman we are.
Right,
Tori, you're hiding behind your words.
You guys completely missed
what I was trying to
my
say.
Point.
And that's so typical of Black women to make fun of. But that was your way of avoiding the truth.
But I don't hate Black women because I've been married to one.
Because I've been married to one. I've got a beautiful Black woman sitting right here next to me as I type this up. And middle finger in the air. And...
I'm going
to
be sick.
Teach you to send us an email with a fake email address. He going to get me. I'm like, she's so mad. That's why she kept talking about me. No. You just had a tantrum and I saw how to like push your buttons. That's what black women do. We push buttons. We don't know when to stop. We don't know our damn place, which is why those white women seem so much more admirable.
Okay. Damn.
Out here getting duped.
Oh, okay. Because we're not looking with our third eye.
Girl, third eye. You're not.
Well, look, I wanted to ask you this. So I have a friend, without giving away too much information, who is grown as hell on paper. I'll just say the brother is 40-ish. Mm-hmm. We're Facebook friends.
Mm-hmm.
And he is in a relationship with a young lady who is 22.
Mm.
And, you know, to each his own.
Right.
But I trip off of some of the pictures that get posted on his Facebook page. He's always posting pictures of this little girl. And the funny thing is, not only does... <little girl. laughs> No judgment.
She don't say that, Kimmy. Sorry. Angry black woman right. Hating on a young black sister.
It's not even her. She looks like a little kid. So when they're pictures together... If you did not know the situation,
you think it was the daddy and
you would
the daughter.
Think, yeah, you would think it was daddy and daughter. She looks like a little kid. Like she's young, but she's one of those women that's going to look young forever because she looks 15, easy. And so he's always like, look at my babe. Look at my babe. Me and my babe. It's me and the babe. And it's like,
that's what she is. Literally the babe. The baby.
And I know this man really well.
Okay.
I know this man. Historically to have liked younger women as a younger man.
Okay.
And I wonder if this isn't indicative of just maybe who he is in the world. And I know for some type of men that just have a preference for really, really young men. I mean, excuse me.
Sorry. That's a whole nother Freudian conversation.
Younger women. I remember for him back in the day, because we were such good friends. It was a control thing, you know,
it could be where he is too.
Yeah.
Well, could be, you know, I don't think every 40-year-old that's dating a younger woman is like that, but, there are some, you know, older men who choose to, and some older women who choose to date younger because, you know, you don't have to deal with too much, you know,
they don't require as much.
Right. And in some situations, not all situations, because, you know, could be a 22-year-old that got her head on straight that knows and, you know, those kind of women. I mean, at least I thought I had it all together at 22. So I thought. But, you know, some men do and some men, women do have an attraction to the younger because they feel like it has no drama attached to it. If they've been married before and now they're divorced. I don't have the energy to feed a relationship. I just want to have a good time. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's so funny. I remember this was about, gosh, I might have had just turned 30. And so a friend of mine, he and I would try to date back and forth, but we just couldn't because he was still on his BS. And I'm like, you know what? You on your BS. And so he told me one day, like, you know what? You getting older now that you 30. I think I was 30, 31. It's like, you getting older. And see, these young girls, they're going to give you a run for their money because, shit, all I got to do is take them to the mall and buy them some tennis shoes, and they good. So you better lower your standards. Your expectations are still high. Okay. Yes, right? And, I mean, clearly that's why this fool and I couldn't get together, right? But we would laugh and joke. But he was telling me that. But it was some, you know, truth to what he was saying.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I believed it, but from his perspective, like, shit, you know, I don't have to deal with a lot here. I take her ass to the mall, buy her some tennis shoes, and it's all good. And not that I don't want any 22-year-olds thinking we're all saying you're like that. But they're a good number. When you're that young, you don't have a lot that you require you to, you know, be happy.
Because let's think about that. At 22.
Throw me a designer bag. Right. Get me in the club VIP. Take me to a nice restaurant.
And age-wise.
We go together.
Right. You're fresh out of college.
Fresh out of college. No money.
Right. No money at all. And unless you were on some serious, like,
hustle intern kind of thing.
Right. Crazy overachievers type situation. You really are. You're trying to find a job. You're trying to establish yourself. So a man that's a bit older with, you know, some paper seemingly
right.
looks like a good stable situation. You're not going to ask too many questions. Right. And for him, the sex is going to be ridiculous.
Yeah. And you might not, right. And you might not even be looking for anything serious at that. I mean, like at 22, I wasn't trying to be serious anyway with anybody. Like,
right.
You do know we only go together because you can buy me something, take me to dinner. Right. Right. And that means I can go with a lot of people because whoever buys dinner and buys me something, that's who I go with.
The very clear rules.
Here. Yeah, you know, that's like the day of the club, you know, get on your outfits, go VIP, bump into a couple of ball players in the club or a couple of rappers and think you hot shit. That's all that you really required. You weren't thinking like wife material. I wasn't at 22.
And see, that's so funny. I was probably on the exact opposite of the spectrum. Wow. I was so serious at that age. So serious. I was even serious in high school. I would have lengthy relationships and like by lengthy, like we're talking, I've been with this person for the last couple of years.
Wow.
People be like, really? Damn, like, yeah.
you was mature.
I think it was because I was raised in a real traditional religious household. So the goal was to become somebody's wife.
Right.
That was a goal. You know what I mean? That's where everything is supposed to lead to. And so I was very, very serious. And it's funny. It wasn't until I got into the relationship that eventually became my marriage that I opted to have fun.
Right.
Like, oh, wait a minute. We don't have to take it as seriously. And we still ended up together, but.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think, and I mean, on the reverse, let's say a 40-year-old woman, right?
Right. I was going to bring that up.
Yeah. Like one day I will be 40, you know, and I don't know what's going to happen. You know, what if I find myself in a situation where I'm single again and. You know, I done had my babies and everything, and that 22-year-old is looking good. You know, I always joke, like, hey, I got that Xbox. I got tacos. I got Kool-Aid. You know, that's it. You know, you, like, you got Xbox, you got the remote, and tacos.
Right.
And you, like, 21, and you a college student.
You winning.
And the 40-year-old still looks good. You know, and she putting it down. She showing you shit that girl in the dorm could never think of. What? Like, what? And it's not because I need you to mentally stimulate me. Like,
right, I'm not looking good. For that.
You know, our conversation don't have to go very far beyond this reality TV bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you know.
Yeah.
See, where you going? You know, like, right. Time for you to go now. Right? See you next weekend.
And it's funny. I got into a conversation with my friend, too. And I had to joke with him because when he told me, you know, my girlfriend, she's 22. And I said, that sounds about right. Cause he told me, you know, everything that he'd been dealing with, he's going through a divorce, all that sort of stuff. I said, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
And he was like, what do you mean? Yeah. And I said, well, let's just say if I was 40 and going through a divorce, my boyfriend would probably be 22 too.
Right. And then there's some, you know, young folks and the older people that do connect, you know,
who knows,
you might just be spunky. You know, where you need somebody younger. I don't know, age for me isn't a big deal. I mean, if I had a 22-year-old daughter, her ass wouldn't be there no 40-year-old man.
Now that's a question. If you, okay, so let's say you are a 40-year-old mm-hmm. with a 20-year-old child,
mm-hmm.
but now you have a 22-year-old beau.
Girl, mind your business. I'm still your damn mama. Mind your business.
And that's my boo.
Back it up. Shit.
I find that interesting. It's funny. I was talking to a brother. I was talking to Moody. And he was saying, looking at younger women, because he is the father of a daughter now, that for him, even mentally in regards to what he can even imagine, there's a cutoff.
Right.
But the podcast that the brothers just did recently, we put out a podcast last week where the brothers were talking about fatherhood.
No.
Because Aaron B. from the Black Astronauts podcast just had his daughter, Evelyn.
Congrats.
Yes. Congratulations, brother. And one of the brothers, I can't remember which one, but he was saying having a daughter castrates a man. It takes all the lust out your system because now all of a sudden you look at women completely differently
mm-hmm.
because you have a daughter.
Mm-hmm. You know, I say that all the time, like, be careful, you know, be careful, because one day, you know, she's going to discover herself and men.
Yeah.
And be careful.
Yeah. You know? Do you want her to be the man that's like you?
Right. Do you want a man like you to come and take advantage of her? You know? So just be careful. But I don't know. I don't feel any way about it. Outside of, you know, someone purposely getting with someone younger to manipulate and steal their joy from them, you know. So if you're a 40-year-old man and, you know, you have control issues and you're out here controlling this little 22-year-old and keeping her from living her life and everything like that, then, yeah, that's problematic. But for the most part, I don't care one way or the other.
Yeah, yeah. Age truly is a number. I think the older we get, we realize it's the time just seems to move like crazy. Right. And you look up and you're like, damn, I was just 21 or 25 and now I'm 40 and I don't really feel any different in regards to physical or anything like that. I still look good. Yeah. And it's I feel good. Yeah. And so it literally is just a numerical thing, a time thing.
Right. Although I will say I have no attraction to the little young dude out here, like in their skinny jeans
and big sagging.
Yeah. So like, you know, if you was a 22-year-old, you'd have to look like a man, you know, your ass can't come up to me in no green skinny jeans.
Right.
Like, what's your name? Nigga. Like, no, sorry.
You know, is this just something that's happening in California? Or is the skinny jean revolution nationwide?
But that Cali swag.
I hate it.
All the dudes.
They're not cute to me
at all. They're not. They look like little boys, right? So it's kind of hard for me to be like, yeah, I'm about to get down with them.
No.
Now, you know, you take me to like a college football field and them fools is like, are the locker room and they just buffed up.
Right.
But the moment he put on them skinny jeans. Yeah. You got to be like a little young tenderoni with some chocolate on them or something.
And you know what's so funny? I realize now, just in this moment with you saying that, I have to acknowledge I am more attracted to older men now than before. I don't even think I really eyeball with my very married self because, yes, married people do stay attracted to human beings. We're not dead.
Right.
I see kids when I see boys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know? So I find myself, if I notice a man is attractive, I realize right in this moment that they're usually older.
I mean, I can't tell you. I don't know. You know, I will say, you know, I used to have a little crush on Romeo.
That's little Romeo? Bad.
Yeah.
He's a handsome
little guy. You know, but, you know, I think I caught him in some skinny jeans. Mama can't do skinny jeans, boo. She can't. But no, I don't have a problem with it. You know.
So, anything else, ma'am? Are we done for the hour?
What else is that? What else? Did we talk about the girl walking down Hollywood Boulevard in a bikini?
No, we can talk about that real quick to wrap up. So, on the news, because you know LA has got to be the place of all kind of crazy shit.
Right.
There's a sister out there. Let me see if I can get her name. And the thing is, I'm not mad at what it is, the point it is that she's trying to make. Whether or not I agree with her method is a different thing. The sister wants to make the point that out here in Hollywood, where we are absolutely enamored with youth and beauty and thinness and our obsession with perfection, she's going to be the full-figured, bikini-wearing woman on Hollywood Boulevard. So she is a 260-pound black woman. In fact, how about race? Doesn't matter. She's a 260-pound woman. Her name is Hermione Terrell. And she is just walking up and down Hollywood Boulevard in her bikini. And the funny thing is, from the video clip I watched, for the most part, the reaction was positive.
Right.
Men were high-fiving her. It was one man. He was like, that's sexy right there. That's a big mama.
Right.
And she is confident. On the other hand, she said it was a couple of people. Some man told her he lost his appetite.
Somebody else called
her precious. And so, you know, I mean, she's putting herself out there. And that is confidence like a motherfucker. I ain't going to front.
Because I'm not walking down Hollywood. Right. No damn bikini.
Exactly.
I'm just not.
Neither one of us are near 260 pounds, and but we it's still not an option.
The damn street in a bikini. I'm like, she bald in the mug. And I think she had on tennis shoes, too. So that's even worse. That fashion statement kills me. You got your ass out there in a bikini and tennis shoes.
Right.
Bailing.
This is a beautiful expression of confidence, whether or not it's going to change the city that we live in and its obsession. Cause I've said it once and I'll say it again. I don't have any problem with Gwyneth Paltrow, but she is so not a beautiful woman to me, but I feel like Hollywood is obsessed with Gwyneth Paltrow and her look.
Right.
You know, which to me, I feel like Gwyneth could use a couple of meals.
So I think Hollywood, in some regards, is confused as it relates to like what is sexy and what is beautiful, because you have your Sofia Vergara's and your Anna Nicole Smiths and your Marilyn Monroe and your J-Lo's, women who were known for their curves, that they were embraced. You know, Hollywood puts the camera on them, and mostly because they have big asses. Not necessarily full-figured women.
Or big boobs.
Yeah, or big boobs, right? I think Hollywood's a little less friendly to curvaceous black women or full-figured black women because the first thing they kind of say, you know, you're so confident. That's what they bring up when they're interviewing, you know, women that are curvaceous. Like, you know, Hollywood thinks of women that are thin, but you're so curvaceous and confident.
This is true.
You know, and you're like, why the hell wouldn't I? Like,
right.
What about this shouldn't be confident? But I think there's some space in there. There's some love. Unfortunately, though, I personally feel like it's a little less acceptable for black women.
Yeah.
You know, because they don't, we go from thin or just big, you know, not curvaceous.
There's no middle ground.
There's no middle ground, right? And so.
And there's definitely a line. You know, everybody, you can't just say you thick.
Right.
There's a difference between thick and obese.
Right. And then, like, one of the reasons why I really believe it's true is that curvaceous black women in Hollywood speak on it.
Yeah.
So it's like, let me speak on it and bring it up before you do. You know?
Yeah.
Like, I, you know, Kirstie Alley, yeah, she spoke on it. But for some reason, it's like, as black women in Hollywood, they have to speak on it right away. I know I'm curvaceous. I know I'm not the typical, like, before you print it, before you say it, before you put it out there, let me say it.
Right. Do you think it has something to do with the fact that within our communities, it is not a novelty to have women who are extremely curvy? So it's very normal.
Yeah, it's very normal in our neighborhood.
Yeah. And then you realize if you're on this great public stage for whom this particular look is not normal, where you are, you know, ample in different parts of your body, there needs to be an explanation as to why or.
Yeah, and that's only like some L.A. Hollywood stuff.
Yeah,
you
so
know?
Very L.A.
Because.
So very Hollywood.
Yeah, so very Hollywood. You know, because you go somewhere else and they like, what? Like, they loving it. Sister Big. Think I'm gonna take you home, right? Anthony Hamilton wanted us to eat grits, like, hey, thicker than cold oatmeal. I'm winning, right? All of the little shows with the like reality shows, those girls got big butts and hips and thighs, and it's like, oh, wait, you know, that's how the rest of the world responds. Hollywood, on the other hand, is like,
it's uncomfortable. Because I remember distinctly my first trip to ATL. And I couldn't believe the level of love I was getting down there.
Yeah, you're like, what? Yeah.
Like, okay, I'm not in L.A. anymore.
Because in L.A., you know, it's like, well, you know, but I don't know. I get what the sister's saying. I think she was a little extreme. Like
in her method?
Yes. Put your... Well, if you're going to go down there with them bikinis, put on some flip-flops or some heels. Tennis shoes? Come on, girl, boo. Stop playing. Like, bikini and tennis shoes, your 260 pounds is not the problem. Them tennis shoes and the damn bikini is the problem. If you're going to strut your ass down the street in a bikini, put on some heels or some flip-flops. Shit. What? Why the tennis shoes? I'm confident. No, you're wrong. You are wrong. I don't care how big you are, how small you are, whatever. But the tennis shoes is what killed. And down Hollywood Boulevard, all the shit that be happening on Hollywood Boulevard.
Right.
You just look like the rest of the crazy folks. Yeah,
that's
like,
the thing. Hollywood Boulevard is the one location, right, where yeah. that's completely safe and yeah. not a shock to see. Yeah. Like, I'm sure she got some level of shock value, but definitely not if, like, she were walking down Venice.
Right. You know, like, wait a minute. You know, because that's, and even on the Venice boardwalk, that's entertainment. Right. So somebody just probably thought she was entertainment. They did not know she was out there.
To make a point.
To make a point. Mm-hmm. You know. And then I think too, it's bigger than just saying like, oh, look, I'll walk down the street in a bikini. I'll show all of my body. Like there are some little girls who are struggling with accepting who they are mm-hmm. and their body image. To me, it's more important to pour into them that it's not just about your body image and that you're beautiful no matter what size you are. I don't necessarily think by throwing on a two piece and walking down the street is going to make any little girl feel more confident. You
in
know,
herself. And the thing herself. Is, it goes both ways.
It goes, yeah.
I've learned from being a woman who is curvaceous, fuller figured, there are women on the opposite end of the spectrum who have a completely different struggle, who feels mm-hmm. like their bodies are more masculine than feminine, mm-hmm. who wish to have more level of voluptuousness, and that, for them, brings on the same sort of self-consciousness I've had for being more voluptuous.
Right.
So just confidence, period.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's like my choice. I'm going to prove that I'm confident by putting on the least amount of clothes. And right. I get it's just a bikini.
Yeah, yeah.
I get it. And we all throw that on to go swimming. But let them know that building confidence does not come from the fact that I will throw on a bikini and walk down the street. Like, I will put on the least amount of clothes.
Right.
And that means I'm confident. And that's not it. Because it's deeper than that. Those little girls need deeper than that. Like,
that's true.
So if I appreciate her, you know, and her cause, because she wants to say you can be any size and beautiful. But if you're going to accept that challenge or accept that charge, make it like worth something, you know, because it's like, I mean, I'm joking about it and the tennis shoes and the bikini, but it was kind of like set itself. It was just like open jokes.
Right.
Like you really walk down the street, Hollywood Boulevard.
Right.
You know, so like, let's just say you had an opportunity to talk to young women who had body image issues. You wouldn't have put on a bikini and a tennis shoes.
Right.
I would hope you would go present it, you know, in a way that they could take you seriously.
Right.
Like no one's going to take you seriously walking down Hollywood Boulevard. It's kind of like a spectacle and the people, you know, they're like, high five for her. But no one takes that seriously. It's like, we heard you, we saw you on the news, and then that's it.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So, I ain't going to say like props to her because it was a joke. I couldn't take it seriously. Like you're walking down Hollywood Boulevard. I'm talking about you're walking down the street where you got three different Superman and Batman on the corner and
the brother spray painted in gold.
The brother spray painted in gold and silver pop locking. And nobody can take you serious in that. If that's a serious issue, then why put it in the smack dab of Hollywood? Laying on the damn sidewalk on the Hollywood stars, swinging your legs back and forth. You just look crazy. You look crazy at 130 pounds doing that shit. You look crazy at 260 pounds doing that shit. Like, come on. Like, nobody's going to take you seriously. Like, nobody. Who's going to call her up? Like, and be like, you know, we want you to come and speak to our girls at our school because we think. I would be borderline, like, you know, her ass might be a little crazy.
Look, she won't get that call, but let's see how many primetime network news shows she makes. I want to see whether or not she's going to actually make a circuit. They'll bring her.
Yeah, because they were like, oh, we want to, you know, because they want to make fun of her. Yeah. Walking down the street in a bikini and tennis shoes. Don't do that. You know, shit, if you was going to make it something, then shit, take your red carpet, roll your red carpet out, put your heels on and strut. And you just flopping down the street in bikini and tennis shoes. Talking about, I'm beautiful. I love myself all the while Mickey Mouse is in the back and Batman is in the back. Like, girl, boo, stop playing with us. Shit. That's the problem. I can't. And it's not because you're 260 pounds. It was just done in a buffoonery type way. And I couldn't take you seriously. I wouldn't have taken you seriously at 160 or 130. Land on the sidewalk. No self-respecting woman is going to lay her ass down on the sidewalk.
On that sidewalk.
On Hollywood Boulevard anyway. Sidewalk. With your legs, ankles crossed, swinging them back and forth. Posing like you had 1 hour photo talking about, no. I love myself. Get your ass up. Please.
Oh, well,
wrong.
People, it is us. T and Casey.
On April 7th. Sorry.
Oh, my goodness. No, this show has definitely run the gamut of topics. Oh, my goodness. By all means, holla at your girls. Let us know what you think. Except Byron, you on punishment.
No, Byron.
You need to call the hotline, Byron. We want to hear your voice.
We go together now.
Yes.
He don't want my ass. I'm out of control. I'm an angry black woman who he has to prep to put a smile on face before we walk outside. Bye, boo.
But y'all know where to find us at blackisonline.com, and you know all the critical information. And if you don't, let me just give it to you again. The hotline, 323-455-4219. The email, kc@blackisonline.com. And again, you are listening to the Brown Girl Hour.
Y'all love the brown girls, and the brown girls love y'all.
Yes, we do.
Peace. Yeah, have love. Brown sugar. About to set it like, yeah, y'all. Just my mic so I can touch it up right quick. Show me how Brooklyn do, you know what I mean? Listen, yo, let's start it up. Let's get it flowing. Let's make a move. Let's get it going. I know it's feeling like everything you want, don't it? And you've been waiting your whole life for one moment. Well, baby, here it is. You better step to it. I know you're ready, right? Then, baby, let's do it.